We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and I'll read from verse 8. This is the morning of the resurrection. It says early in the morning, some women had gone to the cemetery to go and do what they customarily would do, embalm the body or put some oils and so on the body of the dead person. In this case, we're talking about Jesus Christ. So it's early in the morning, and when they hear an earthquake, an angel has shown up and set on the rock that was used to close the tomb. And then there's a conversation. An angel tells them that, listen, I know you have come to look for him here, but Jesus actually is not here. Go to the disciples and let them know. So from verse 8, we pick the story from verse 8. It says, so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Verse 11 says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to gather this morning because of your Son who hung on the cross for us, as we heard from the children, so that our sins may be forgiven. Amen. And for that, we're forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you again. We've got people from all over the place, so you're also welcome. I think I need to make an announcement. There's no children's church today. Okay. And there's a link in the Jubilee room. Someone remind me? Okay. It's for mothers and dads with little babies. If your baby is having a moment, by all means, you're not missing the service. There's a video feed in the other room. Amen. Okay. So, here we go. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And one of the questions you might be wanting to ask, but you have not been given an opportunity, is what difference does the resurrection make in my life? I'll ask it for you. What difference does it make? Does it matter that we have got Easter Sunday? I know sometimes as believers on an Easter Sunday like this, we could be doing many things. But I have made up my mind. In fact, I made up my mind many years ago that I'm going to reflect and celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ. I made a conscious decision that I'll be found in the house of the Lord on those days. I don't know what your decision is, but for me, it's critical because our faith hangs on this thing. The two greatest events in world history is not World War I or World War II. The two greatest events in the world is when divinity became humanity. That is when Jesus became flesh. Jesus, our Lord, became a human being who lived on earth. That was one of the greatest miracles, greatest events in the world, when God himself decided to limit himself to being mankind. And then the second greatest thing that happened was when a dead man rose from the dead. He wasn't resuscitated. There was no medical science involved except to prove that this man died who was nailed on the cross. And then by the power of the living God, this dead man was raised not with the same body, but with what we call the resurrected body. Now, the resurrected body is different because even though it eats, or even though it receives food that you eat, and one of the things that Jesus ate when he rose from, you have heard me say this, you know, that one of the things he ate with his resurrected body was fish. I know. But that body had no blood because the blood was used up on the cross. So a resurrected body has no disease. Because disease comes from the blood. That's why in heaven there is no sickness. That's why in heaven there is no death. How can you kill a dead man? So, that's the great. Those two are the greatest events. The birth of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Never mind if CNN didn't capture that. It is a fact. That's what I call the breaking news from heaven. So without the resurrection of Christ, Christianity is just another good story among many other good stories. Without the resurrection, Christ is not Lord. But with the resurrection, Christ is Lord. And this is very important because without resurrection, there is no hope. With resurrection, there is hope. Imagine, I don't know whether you've been to a funeral of an atheist who has died, or a humanist. Because they believe that it is appointed unto men to die, and that's it. When you die, it's the end of your life. There is nothing else. So when you go to a funeral like that, there is no hope whatsoever. That's the most miserable place to be in. If you remove resurrection from your life, life is without hope. When there is resurrection in our lives, there is hope. The Bible clearly teaches that the gospel is not gospel at all without the resurrection story. It's meaningless. It's like, why are we even here? Why would people give their lives to be torn by wild animals? Paul says, I've been given away. I've been lashed. I've been done. All things have happened to me. Why would I waste my time if Christ did not rise from the dead? Well, I believe resurrection does make a difference. And there are various things that it makes. Well, we'll finish next week. But for today, what difference does the resurrection make? What impact has it made in my life as a human being? Just believing that Jesus rose from the dead, that is my Lord. Does that matter? Does it make a difference? Is it important at all? Because many people have died. Well, here's the first thing. First of all, resurrection makes a difference in my enthusiasm. Matthew 28, verse 8, the Bible says, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy. They were filled with great joy. Let me give you a picture here. These women woke up early in the morning while it was still dark. England does not do favors to this scripture, because if you wake up early in summer, what time will that be? Because the sun comes up at about time now. Around 7? Around 6-ish? That's not what the Bible is talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. While it was still dark, that's around maybe 4. Anyone familiar with praying at 4 a.m.? Around 4 a.m. maybe. These are women. Women only. They decide to go. Now, that's the first part. They are women. The second part is even more scary. Where were they going? Someone remind me. Where were they going? At what time? While it was still? Where were these women going? Who goes to cemeteries at 4 a.m.? Witches. Only witches do that. At least where I come from, where I was born, witches went there. So here are women going to a cemetery at 4 a.m. Now, what are you expecting at 4 a.m. to see in the cemetery? Wow, they saw, the Bible says there was an earthquake. And then what they feared the most, they saw an angel. These are spiritual beings that you don't want to see at 4 a.m. Because even a shadow is a spiritual being out there at 4 a.m. Even a cat is a spiritual being in the dark. What more an angel? Now, this, I'm going to get diverted now. I'm going to digress. I've got so much to say here. But anyway. So let's stick to the story. The story is that the angel then gives them an update. The angel says to them, listen, the person you're looking for is not here. He's risen. Obviously, they are excited about this news. And they are also frightened because they're thinking, are we seeing okay? Is this what we came for? They were going to see a dead body, but they saw an empty tomb and an angel who gives them the news. You know, these women, after the encounter with a spirit being, telling them the good news that Jesus is alive, the Bible says they were filled with great joy. Because when you hear the news that Jesus is alive, you can't help it but be full of joy. Christians are not miserable people. We are doing bad marketing if we look miserable to the world as Christians. There's no reason to. I mean, these women had seen a terrifying being, yet joy filled their heart. I don't know what you have been seeing or what you have seen, but when you see Jesus Christ, everything changes with the twinkle of an eye. In Luke 24, they're not the only people that are filled with joy. But I want you to also notice that I was asking this morning when I was reading this text, I was asking the Lord. So if you notice from verse 1 to 8, it's a lovely story. But verse 11, you run into something that looks like this doesn't fit in here. Because what the women saw, the guards also saw. The guards also saw the angel who, when he was coming down, was so powerful that an earthquake happened, actually. And then on top of that, that stone that was heavy to roll over, the angel now sat on it. One angel from heaven was strong enough to cause an earthquake on earth and sit on the stone that was limiting their entry to seeing the risen Christ. You know, in life, we've got so many obstacles. We've got so many hindrances that are overshadowed. We're trying to see Jesus, or we at least we think you are. But there are obstacles that are so powerful, you're thinking, my goodness, how will I get through? But there is power from on high that is able to remove that obstacle, and you will have an encounter with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
However, it's a choice you have to make, because the God saw everything they saw, and they went to tell the elders and the Pharisees, but they were bought off with money. Basically, they obliterated the encounter they had with a spirit being because they were at a price. They were able to be bribed. And there are many things in life that can take our attention away from God today. What is it that the devil is laying at your lap right now that is confusing you from what you saw with your own eyes, from what you heard with your own ears? You know, I can be preaching like this today. By this evening, you will have forgotten what I said. But you remember everything else you saw on Netflix. Someone tell a neighbor, you have been shortchanged. Nothing can replace what you saw. But maybe you have a commercial rate for what God downloads to you. And so the guards walk away with a bribe, denying what they had seen. But these women refuse to deny what they've seen. It says, with great joy, they left that place. I checked the word enthusiasm. Enthusiasm means a passion that compels you to act. So it's more than just getting excited about stuff. This goes deep. It's a deep zeal. It's a deep motivation. It's a deep inspiration. It goes deep to the degree that you cannot remain staring at the angel. If you notice verse 8, it says, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. Other version says, they ran to tell his disciples. Women of that age were not known for athletics. Women of that day did not do Olympics. We live in the 21st century now. They not only Olympics, they do wrestling, they do boxing, they do kickboxing. Example. I don't want to get into trouble here. I'm just saying, these ones did not. But because of the great joy that had happened to them, not because of a medal they're going to win, because of the great joy that was inside of them, they ran. Do you run for a prize? Or you run because you carry a revelation? Do we have to pay you to go and preach the gospel? Do we have to promise you that you'll become senior pastor after you've preached the gospel? Sometimes we twist things from scripture and then we do our own stuff. But these women ran because they had an encounter with the risen. Now, at this point, they had resurrection. They had not met Jesus Christ yet, but they had an encounter with the news. With just the news of hearing about Jesus Christ, they ran. Interesting. Jesus himself then appeared to them before they could even get to the disciples. But already they were motivated. They were enthusiastic. But they are not the only people enthusiastic in the Bible. Luke 24, verse 52. Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he meets his disciples and he blesses them. And then he's taken away from them. And then the Bible says in verse 52 of Luke chapter 24, says, they worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. There's that thing again. They were filled with great joy. And you know what they did after they were filled with great joy? They went to the upper room, and that joy carried them for 10 days of prayer and seeking God, tarrying, united as one in one place, calling on the name of the Lord. What was the energy by which they were sustaining themselves for 10 days, it was this great joy, enthusiasm for God. Christianity is boring if you don't have enthusiasm. Christianity doesn't make sense if you have no enthusiasm. The reason we love Jesus is because there is a deposit that is made in our hearts when we invite him into our lives. And part of that deposit is the great joy of the Lord. You need it. Life is too tough. Things happen. As my son will say, it is what it is. But I want to say to him is, there is great joy that can change that which is. Amen. God can change that. God can change us. There's an example of a guy. Is that our time? Okay. There's an example of a guy called Peter. You remember Peter? Who would have imagined that Peter would deny Jesus Christ 3 times? I mean, in one point, he sounded like he was even cursing. You know, like, I don't even know him. Leave me alone. But Peter, you've been with this man for 3 years. You ate with him. You hung around him. Oh no, I don't know him. A few days later, things changed for Peter. This man who was so afraid, warming himself in the fire, after the resurrection, he was on fire for God. He was on fire for God. What changed? What happened to Peter? It's that great joy. It's enthusiasm for God. It's the news of the resurrection. It is what he realized that Jesus had done that Peter was excited. What does the Bible say? Romans 14, 17. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it is about what? It is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. And joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, I discovered something. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in fact, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if the kingdom of God has no joy in it, where are we? If church is lousy, if church is boring, if church has no, if all we do, if all that's moving are our eyeballs, we're in trouble. Great joy. We need great joy. But we don't manufacture it. This is something the Spirit of God does for the believer. We need righteousness, we need peace, and we need joy. What does Scripture say? David says, this is the day that the Lord has. Psalm 118, verse 24, I believe. This is the day that the Lord has made. So what shall we do? We shall rejoice. And? Oh, you guys help me this side. This is the day that? Do you hear in that scripture where it says that? This is the most boring day that I've had today. Is it what it starts reading? Maybe this is the day you are fired from work. Maybe this is the day that all things are not working for you. Do you have one of those days? Your bus, your car breaks down. You realize you've been defrauded. Someone is using your bank account. And before you know it, you realize that someone didn't clean whatever happened when their dog was passing through your house. And you get home, you hear a preacher saying, what does Psalm 118 verse 24 say? This group helped me this side. This is the one. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's only 2 lines this side. It's only 2. Are you hearing me, guys, there? What does scripture say? This is the one. Yeah. You're not encouraging me right now. It doesn't sound like this is the day the Lord has made. every day that the Lord makes, we will rejoice in it. It doesn't matter what has happened, but we will rejoice because it is the Lord who makes the day. You make your own day if you don't submit it to the Lord in the morning. You are making your own day. But when the Lord makes your day, you will rejoice and be glad in it. You won't allow men to control your joy. You set the thermostat. Have you noticed that when some people come to your house, they light up the place? And you wonder, what has just happened? We were just looking gloomy, looking at each other like, what are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me? And then someone walks into the house, and then all of a sudden something is lit. They carry the joy. That's the changing factor. You need that too. You don't want to be the kind of place that when you walk into a room, people think, what has just happened? We carry a spirit. Okay? Yeah. And one of the spirits we want to carry into places, into atmospheres, is the spirit of joy. Joy. This is the day that the Lord has made. So I will rejoice. Even when I flunk that exam, I will rejoice. Even when I got a regret for that job I really wanted, I will. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. That's what I mean by enthusiasm. How can a day when you walk in the night to the cemetery be joyful? It can be if you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Of all places, what's exciting in a cemetery? Because God is trying to teach us something here. The second thing about the resurrection is this. What makes a difference is this. It makes a difference in my witness. In my witness. It says in verse 18, it says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples. The reason we are going to make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is because something has happened to us. And that which has happened is called resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the way we share Christ, the way we witness, the way we can't use the word evangelism anymore because the church is spooked by that word. But it simply means reaching out to people with the good news. That's all that evangelism means. Evangelism simply means telling someone about Jesus Christ, saying, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? No, I don't know Jesus. You know, this man called Jesus who hung on the cross and was raised on the third day changed my life. Amen. That's what it means. How did it change your life? I used to be like this. I used to be an angry person. I used to be a stubborn person. I never listened to everybody. I thought the world revolved around me. I was my own man. Nobody told me what to do. But one day someone shared Christ with me, and I realized that I'm a small man, actually. I used to think that all outcomes depend on me. For some of us, we're very intelligent. We thought we were so smart that we thought we were smarter than God. But you know what? Jesus came so that we could be saved. He holds nothing against us. If we are willing to come to the cross, say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, I need help. You know that's a hard thing to say for a human being. In the culture we live in now, we are trained right from kindergarten not to need anybody. The word is independent. We are trained to be independent. Whereas heaven's curriculum has got the word interdependence. Through submission to an authority, who's Jesus Christ. Now that curriculum is against everything our culture is teaching us. That's why it's hard to surrender to God. Hey, there's a new baby today, right? Oh, wow. Where is the baby? Don't worry. I don't want you to wake anybody up right now. So, I want us to understand that we are in this so that we may win people to Christ. Besides the great joy we have, this great joy should motivate us to go and share Christ with the lost. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. He defeated every obstacle that we can encounter in trying to share the good news. We have to share the good news. Let's not be fooled by media that says that, oh no, England does not need Jesus Christ anymore. Even politicians have said, we don't do God in England. That's a lie. We need God. How can we even breathe without God? So Jesus loves the lost. Amen. Paul writing says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. This was Paul. And Paul was writing to a Roman church in the Roman Empire itself, where the emperor lived. Paul was writing to that church saying, listen, I am not ashamed of declaring this gospel. No power can stop me from preaching the gospel. We're not being killed yet for preaching the gospel here. Yeah. The worst you can get is a very tough frowns when you start preaching about Jesus Christ. But you will leave. That's okay. Worst case scenario, you'll be locked up overnight. So in 12 hours' time, we'll get you out. There are lawyers here. I'm not going to say example. Can I move on to the next? Because our time is flying here. What difference does the resurrection make? The resurrection makes a difference in my everyday life. I'll show you. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28. The Bible says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Does always mean every day? Does always mean every moment of my life? Does always mean even while I'm asleep? Does always mean even while I'm at work? How about when I'm sick? When I'm well? When I'm in church, when I'm outside church, when I'm in a bus, when I'm in my car, when I'm in a shopping mall, when I'm in a queue, when I'm on the streets, is it covered by this text? Every day. Let me give you a scenario. Imagine we are one of the disciples. How would you be feeling? Because the Lord Jesus, you saw him being nailed to the cross. You saw him die. Or maybe they had run away by then, I don't know. But they were told that he's dead. Imagine how they felt. I like to think that they felt dejected. They felt disappointed. They felt that Jesus had lost. They felt even frustrated that what we hope has come to nothing. How will the kingdom of Israel come when he who we thought was the king of Israel, the Messiah, has died? It looked as though it was all over. It looked as though the devil had won. You know, one of those moments when you're feeling like nothing can change now. I'm done. Nothing can change my situation now. And you just submit to fate and say, oh, maybe in the next life, I told you believe in the next life. But by that moment, it's not looking good. But you know what? God had a plan. God wasn't done yet. Because on the third day, like we are singing, the earth was shaken. Things began to move. And Jesus was raised from the dead. Everything changed from that reason. I mean, from that moment onwards. Because of the resurrection, faith, saints, we have every reason not to give up. It's as if Jesus is saying, by that text of saying, I'll be with you to the very end of the age, Jesus is saying, I will always be with you. Amen. I'll be with you on the mountaintop. Yes. I'll be with you in the valley.
Yes.
I'll be with you when things are good.
Yeah.
I'll be with you when things are bad.
Amen.
I'll be with you in sickness,
yeah,
in health,
yeah,
in good,
yeah,
in bad,
yeah,
in whatever condition, in disappointment, in dejection, I'll be with you. That's what he's saying. Saying, I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I am with you. Paraphrase, he's saying, don't give up. Don't despair. Don't throw in the towel because I will show up. That's what God is saying. That's what he means by that, that I am with you always. Now, he's the same God who says, in this world, you will have trouble. He said that in John 11, 33, I think. In this world, you will have trouble. But hey, hold on. I will be with you. That's what he says. In everyday life. You know, sometimes I remember there are moments when I feel I'm going to be late. And say, Lord, please, can the tram come right now? I don't want to miss my train. Do you know what happens? I see the tram just making its way around the corner, coming to stop right there. Not in my house, but at the tram station. I don't want you to misquote me. Pastor said, tram can come to my house. No comment. But here's the point. In everyday issues of life, God hears your prayer. Everyday issues. I have prayed for people who have been sick, seriously sick. I'm thinking, my goodness, this person is so ill. And then we pray for that person. God touches them and heals them. It doesn't matter. It does not make a difference to God. It's the same power at work. The power of resurrection. It's at work. It's able to heal one from a cough, but it's able to raise someone who's dead. It's able to make a job available for you. That suits you. God is able to do anything. That's who he is. It's called resurrection power. So learn to involve God in your everyday life. Involve him. Involve him. While you're waiting for someone, start talking to God. Just chat with God. That's called everyday life. You know, you can even tell God about what you're struggling with. If you're married, tell God about what you're struggling with your spouse. God won't freak out. Okay? You can handle it. Just read. I don't know if you do this. If you read the Psalms and listen to David's prayer to God, you'll be shocked. I don't know if he meant it literally or if he was being metaphorical. Sometimes he says, Lord, may you bash the teeth of my enemies. He says it. It's in the scriptures. What do you think will be happening to David's mind? It's one of those days. Someone say one of those days. But I like the way he ends. Let me give context because I'm afraid what will happen here. Those kind of psalms, towards the end, you'll hear some saying, but Lord, you know everything. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. In other words, I've just said things, but you know, I submit my frustrations to you. Amen. Help me. That's what he's saying. Have mercy upon me. So God saying, stay faithful. Don't give in yet. Don't give in. God is on your side. I really believe that God does not want you to give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on that uncle of yours that you are praying for. He's getting worse the more you pray. Listen, don't give up. God is still at work. Don't give up on that wayward son or that wayward child. Don't give up. Keep praying. I've learned something from God. When you are praying the most, when you're about to hit a breakthrough, that's when things intensify in the wrong direction. Because you're getting close. You're getting close. Don't give up. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on people. I learned this the hard way as a pastor. You can't give up on people because that which you despise will produce a king in your life. Jacob despised Leah, but it is from Leah that a king came forth from the tribe of Judah. God might be laying something of treasure in your hands, but you are blind. So don't give up on people. Is it true that resurrection power raises the dead? Then why do we give up on people? I'm sure that day they'd given up on Jesus Christ. Saw with their eyes, say, I have proof. Listen, I saw his death certificate. He's dead. Can I say this? This is very important. There are dreams that have died in this room. There are hopes that have been shredded in this room today. It could be even relationships that have been shredded, where you've said, as for that one, forget over my dead body. Dangerous statement to make. There are aspirations that we've given up on, where you say, I will never play a keyboard in my life. My fingers just tangle like this. I can't play this thing. There are even courses and degree programs that have been given up because you have told yourself that your brain freezes whenever you touch a textbook. Example. I'm sorry for my terminology. I'm just using so that I get through to someone. You know those statements you have made to yourself? Maybe you made them 10 years ago. I've got a message for you today. Jesus was certified dead. He didn't faint on the cross. He was dead. But what happened is that the Holy Ghost came, raised him who was dead from the dead. And it is through him that we have salvation today. God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power has been made available to you here in this room. That power is able to raise the dead dreams. That power is able to resurrect things in your life. You know, some things die in us. Sometimes it's simple patience that has died. Patience to someone. Well, I'm not patient with that person anymore. Where you are angry about that person, or where things don't sit well in our hearts. But I want to say to you that the only prescription for that is resurrection power. You don't need a psychologist anymore. Counseling has failed to work. Psychology has failed to work in your situation. Doctors have said, as for you, like my wife said, come to terms, learn to live with it. Those kind of situations attract the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to prove to say, you are not in charge, I am. Amen. That person belongs to me. That's the reason Jesus went to the cross, to show who's in charge here. For those 3 days, I'm sure demons were running all over the place saying, we won, we're in charge, we nailed him. You see him there, he's dead. On the third day, the Holy Ghost showed up, said, say what you said again. You need to hear that statement over your life today. Amen. Your life belongs to God. There is resurrection power to bring to life that which the enemy has stolen from you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.